You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.ab.ca.
As Alan Mitchell, host of the Lowdown, noon to 2 on Sports 1440, joins us. Al, now I'm gonna throw you a little curveball on the oil report, because I know you're big on Oilers draft picks. You wrote the book on it. You remember a young Ben Betker, Al?
Yes, Ben Betker was like 6'7", and I think he might have been. Now, it's hurting my brain doing this, but I think he might have been part of the 2015 orientation camp that famously had McDavid, Draisaitl, and Darnell Nurse. It was unusual to bring three first-round draft picks from the previous season, because it was usually just for the guys who were just drafted and maybe the previous year, but they brought in like 13, 14, and 15. Nurse came from the 13th because they wanted them to gel and develop chemistry. I think Betker might have been on that orientation roster, but that's a stretch. I might be wrong.
Well, that would have been that would have been 2 years after his draft, so very possible. And he was turning pro that year, so in 15, 16. So you're probably right, Al. He went to the ECHL, had some time in the AHL, and then played, I think, six seasons in Europe. He finished 1 year of reffing, Al, in the BCHL, and then got signed directly to the NHL pipeline, is now right in the American League. Like, I don't know.
Nice.
I don't think it's nice. I think it's a real problem for the officiating in the NHL, that you're trying to force feed guys into positions they're not ready for.
Well, how many years as an official does he have so far?
One in the BCHL.
He's in the what league is he in now?
Now he got signed by the NHL, and that means he'll start in the American League.
Right. So, I mean, I guess, you know, maybe you want players to, or you want the officials to have many, many years, but I don't have a problem with fast tracking them. You know, if he's qualified, if he's shown the ability. There was another former Oiler draft pick who ended up being an official too. I do not remember his name, but my brain is hurting now. Many years ago, he was signed, I believe, by the Oilers, and he quit maybe a year or two in, and he ended up being an official.
Oh yeah, no, he's in the NHL right now, and his name is escaping me, but I'll figure it out before the end of this interview. He's
okay.
Well, he was in the NHL. He's been in the NHL for a few years now. Oh God, I'll have to think about it. But
if you don't know LT and Greger doesn't know, I don't think he ever existed. What do you think about that?
Listen, all I know is that neither Greger or I bought an Everly jersey while watching him play as a rookie. That belongs to you. As far as legendary status is concerned, I think that takes the cake.
Well, I accept your praise. I saw photos of Jordan Everly the other day on his wife's Instagram. He looks good, but time has marched on. I'll put it that way.
Well, you know, it does for all of us. That's why I don't allow any photos of myself. So.
Al, let's switch over to the Elks. What's your expectation for the green and gold, and specifically Cody Fajardo?
Well, I mean, he's a good veteran CFL quarterback. I think he'll have great impetus to play well. And I think he will. He obviously knows Regina fans very well, having played there for some time. I would guess that no matter how well he plays, if the defense keeps playing so softly off of the receivers, where they can get 5 or 6 yak yards before anybody even touches them, it's going to be a long night no matter what. If the defense plays tighter, then I think Fajardo might have an impact on the game. But I also think Trey Ford may end up getting some snaps too. It feels like it's wide open, to be honest.
Now, Ford getting snaps, are we talking like just on set plays, or is it he comes in and he's going to get a few series?
Well, I think he should. Like, for me, if this is open season now, they want to win this game. They're desperate to win the game. So if you start the game with Fajardo, yeah, and you have 3 or 4 series and nothing's happening, then I don't have a problem being in Trey Ford. I sat at Commonwealth and watched Hugh Campbell do that with Tom Wilkinson and Warren Moon. So, you know, right now Fajardo's, you know, they're giving him a little leash here. But the idea is that, and I mean, look, I know the prevailing wisdom is, you know, you leave the guy in there and build his confidence, but they don't have time. They got to win football games. So if you're moving the ball, great. But if you're not, then I don't have a quarrel with especially now, because it's they're sort of, I think it's more of a competition now than it was 2 weeks ago. But Ford didn't, you know, if Ford lost this starting role in a pretty weak, you know, one week effort. And I think that that's, you know, I think you have to be able to, you know, give him an opportunity should it arise, should there be a need. Like if they're down 17 at the half and they played for Charlotte the whole first half, then I mean, bring him in. I mean, Trey Ford had a hell of a week 2 weeks ago, man.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Jake Brink, Al.
Right.
Jake
that's
Brink.
It.
Is the
There you go.
There he is.
Draft pick of the orders. That's an NHL official now. So this has happened before, but I don't think he had 1 year in Junior A before going.
What they should have done is, you know, have Mark Messier referee. That would have been fun.
Man. Fine idea.
There'd be no elbowing calls. I'll tell you. Oh, that's just a wee scratch, right? That's it. Nothing.
Messier. It would be like another game with no penalties as Mark Messier referees a game.
Oh, well, man. I'm not sure it could be much worse than what we've seen lately. But anyway, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Well, you, here's the thing, though. So Cody Fajardo came in on short yardage for Ford. So does Ford go in on short yardage plays for Fajardo?
Well, I mean, I want to know what the coach was thinking. Did he think that a veteran would be more reliable on those short yardage plays?
No, they just, I don't know. Yeah, lots of teams like to have their backup do it now just because they're worried about, you know, getting banged up. Right.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, and I think Ford is like, what I love about Ford is that, you know, he's got great wheels. So from the point of view of, like, you know, bringing him in on a play like that, I think it gives you more options and it gives the defense more to be concerned about, because, you know, you can, you know, if it's third and inches, you can play it like that straight up. But he could walk around if they're all bunched up, he could walk around for 20 yards. He's got that kind of speed.
No, it definitely could. It's the one play where bare minimum I would. And I wouldn't just have him go under center. I would have a fake and try to get him outside. So, especially if it's second, right? If it's third, you got to get the first down. But if it's second and a bit, I'd be like, hey, I'm pretty confident that if we don't get it on the first one, we can get it on the second one.
That's fair. Yeah. They have to bring out, like, you know, I'm not saying it's, you know, Flea Flicker City tonight, but they have to look. Right now, I think they're pretty predictable, certainly on defense and you know, maybe on offense a little bit too. So open up the playbook a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't hurt.
You know, it's summer, LT, when Gregor's beefing with new AHL referees.
Well, it just follows my point of what I wrote about the massive reduction in penalties called. Like, we're talking the lowest power play opportunity for a game in NHL history this past year. And how many times have people, that should have been a penalty, like lots of people complaining. Right? And not just in Edmonton. I saw it online, lots of other teams. And then you look, they got a lot of inexperienced officials. And the number one thing, when I asked Carey Fraser, like, what would lead you to making a missed call? Because everybody misses a call. He's like, being in the wrong position. And that's so much about that is experience. So this to me is not necessarily, I think there's a chance that there's way better chance that this ends poorly than goes well for the NHL moving forward. And I get that they had lots of guys retire, but it wasn't like they had a good enough succession plan built up in place.
Well, that is very fair. You should always have, you know, you should roll through, you know, I mean, the leagues of what, I don't even know how many officials there are, but a certain percentage should be newbies. Like, you can't have everybody, you know, Bruce Hood's age. You can't do that. You have to have, you know, younger players coming in, younger officials coming in just to keep, you know, the ball rolling kind of thing. So I get that. I agree with that totally. I just think, I mean, Bedker might be a great official. I don't know. You know, maybe he just blew away the league, the BCHL. They were like, oh my God, this is the best play calling we've ever seen in our life from a referee. I don't know that, yeah. But, you know, I mean, I'm probably wrong, but I see your point. I mean, the fact that he's a hockey player before, I don't know that, you know, at least he knows the rules, Gregor.
Well, yeah, maybe, sure. But I don't know. Having talked to so many officials about it, I can tell you it's also a pretty big slap in the face for the guys who put in all the time. And this guy's like 1 year in the league. And I'm like, come on, it's 1 year in the league. Like, it's rare to have like a referee savant. You know what I mean?
Well, And you make a good point there, and I didn't think about that. If, like, if I've been toiling in the AHL for 5 years, and you know, Betker gets the call in front of me, I would say, what the hell? That would be an eyebrow raiser for sure. So you make a great point there. I didn't think of that.
And Al, quickly, I know you follow baseball very closely. You look at this Jays team, and you know, last night they hit three home runs, which is key, because I think they've shown they can slap the ball around and beat you up with singles and you know, speed on the bases and good base running and timely doubles and such. But in baseball, you do need some round trippers, and they got some last night, and then they got an unreal performance from Lauer. This is sustainable, and how big of a swing do you think Jays management should take before the trade deadline next week?
Well, I think they need three pieces. They need a starter who, he doesn't have to be better than Gausman, but he has to be a guy who can win you a playoff game. That's what I think.
Okay.
And so that's like Merrill Kelly in Arizona. I'd love Jacob DeGrom, but if they want to go with Merrill Kelly, that's fine. Then I think they do need an arm in the bullpen. They've got a lot of injuries there. They had a good bullpen, but the injuries have hurt it. And then I'd like to see a lefty bat. Josh Naylor just went to Seattle last night, and I know he's a first baseman, so he'd have to DH in Toronto, but that's the kind of bat that they need. You're right. They need a lefty home run hitter, a guy who can you know, drive the ball and hit it hard and hit the ball out, because it, you know, it's still a home run league. You know, they're running more, and they're you know, they don't bunt anymore, but there's doubles and running and stolen bases, but it's still a home run league, and they need to have a little more power from the left side, I think.
Yeah. No, it's going to be it'll be fascinating to watch, man. They are entertaining as all heck right now. Like, they're never out of the game. It's enjoyable to watch for sure. So,
yep, you bet.
LT, have yourself a wonderful weekend. We will chat with you on Monday.
You bet. You guys have a great weekend too.